All right, so last we talked Friday, this came up, and we didn't have too much time to get to it, but Governor Pritzker had filed a lawsuit against a couple of schools here in the state of Illinois because he believed that a mask should be worn in school and that that should be a statewide order. No matter what grade you're in, you should be wearing a mask. And he's specifically suing a couple of schools that say that, you know, we're going to open in the fall, and masks are just, they're not required. That's the policy we'd like to have as a school. And I'm not sure where that lawsuit is, but let's find out a little more about it. Jed Davis is joining us here on the show. He's at one of those schools. He is the president of Parkview Christian Academy. And Jed, thank you for calling. Welcome to the program. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, so what's going on here with the governor? I think he's suing. Is he suing your school specifically, or what's the deal there? Give us an overview.
Yeah, he is suing our school along with two other schools who have all notified the Illinois Department of Public Health and ISBE, State Board of Education, about our intent to not necessarily follow their guidelines as a one-size-fits-all, but instead implement our own safety protocols within our hall.
Okay, so are you saying when you open up, you are opening up in the fall, your school, and masks are not required. Is that the deal, or where do you stand on that?
Yeah, correct. So we're opening up full-time, Monday through Friday, kind of like a traditional school would. Masks aren't required. We're not anti-masks by any means. So that is kind of a misconception that is floating out there. We're simply saying that that decision should be in the hands of parents and not coming from, you know, kind of authoritative figures hundreds of miles away from our school that don't know the day-to-day reality within our building.
So are you hearing from parents? Are you hearing from teachers who may not be comfortable with that? I know there are, I mean, this is such a polarizing issue. I think you've heard. And I feel like, you know, there are some people who in the CDC guidelines say that you should wear them, and you've heard so much about it recently that some people just do not feel safe, and they feel like this is going to help. This is really going to help in the transmission. Why wouldn't you have the kids do it in class?
Yeah, we're hearing from both sides, obviously. The beauty is we're a private Christian school, so there are a lot of other options outside of Parkview for families to attend, whether that's homeschool or public school or even other private institutions. But the overwhelming majority of our families and staff are very supportive in the direction that we're heading. And again, we're not ignoring the health realities that we're all living in. We're implementing some pretty stringent health protocols, but we're just saying masks aren't mandatory. They're optional.
Okay. And there are parents that are not comfortable with that. What, they just don't come to school? I mean, how do you handle that scenario?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So we are talking about potentially some streaming for those families that may rather pursue that option. Or we want families to be happy with the decision that they make for their child. So if that isn't Parkview, we will definitely do everything in our power to find a spot where they're comfortable. And there are great resources in the community in which we live. So, again, we're not a one-size-fits-all, and there are a lot of great solutions at Parkview and also within the community of Yorkville at large.
All right, well, can you stand by for just a second, Jed, because I got to hit the break. But then I just want to ask you about the CDC guidance and telling schools, and whether or not you think that here in Illinois that's also going to be, they'll be following that guidance. And that you might have to do it. I mean, I wonder what position this will end up putting you in. So, Jed Davis, stand by for just a sec. We'll get back to you here on WGN. It's Anna DeVlantis. All right, we've been talking about masks and the return to school. We heard from CEO of CPS, Janice Jackson. She's been doing the rounds. She was on with John Williams today. And she says they're not going to be suspending any kids in CPS or disciplining students in any way for not wearing a mask, but they will provide them. And they said that they want them to wear it in all instances where you can't socially distance. Interesting, I heard a thing at my daughter's camp today. They said, well, everyone has to wear masks, but if you feel like you need to take it off for a moment, there's a special area where you can go and take it off and deal with it that way. That's what they said. CPS does seem to, they're going to open after Labor Day in that hybrid model that you heard them lay out with the 2 days for 15 kids in one pod and then 15 kids in the other pod, splitting the classes in half. We'll go Monday, Tuesday, and then Thursday, Friday. You got this? And then on Wednesday, there's going to be like a real-time all-day class learning. So it's a very interesting model they proposed to teachers. And I got an email from the Chicago Teachers Union today saying this is all unacceptable. So there you go. That's where that stands on that whole thing. More to come. Let's see. Now we want to go back to Jed Davis. He has been talking to us about how they will not be requiring masks in his school there. And here's an interesting thing. Jed, I want to read this to you, though. The Centers for Disease Control Protection recommends that both teachers and children over the age of 2 wear masks in school and maintain 6 feet of social distance to spread the control of the virus, or spread the virus from going to person to person. All right, so you say you're not anti-mask, but I guess people would ask, if it helps at all, why wouldn't you do it? Why not do it, Jed?
Yeah, you know, I love hearing the governor talk about science and data. He has mentioned that phrase a lot. And has declared every county in Illinois a public health emergency. But if you read the actual definition in the Illinois Emergency Management Act, Kimball County, the county that Parkview is located in, doesn't qualify for that. We've got 115,000 people in the population. There's been over 15,000 tests for COVID, with only about 1,125 coming back as positive. And unfortunately, we have lost 21 residents. But you look at those numbers, we have an infection rate of less than 1% and a death rate of 0.018%. So I'm not challenging the CDC or the WHO or the medical profession. I'm just saying there's data out there on both sides of the table, and that this decision is a larger discussion, because now we have the governor coming into the halls of a private Christian school saying, here's what you can and can't do. So we're pushing that issue for that very purpose, and I look forward to having our voice in court on that one.
And where is the court case, Jed? Because I know the governor sued you guys, and then did you – I don't know where the legal stuff is. Can you just update us on that?
Yep. So he sued us last Thursday, late afternoon. There is a temporary restraining order hearing on July 30th at 1:30, and that will be down in Sangamon County in Springfield.
Okay. Do you imagine that parents are going to yank their kids out of your school, or do you not think that that's going to happen?
No, we've got great support. Our families are the greatest, and that's the thing, too, is that we're not connected to a church or any of our organization. We represent our families. So this suit, yes, it's Parkview by name, but it's really an attack against the families and students of Parkview, because that's who I and the board represent.
Okay. We've got a text here, 847, the private school is not an island. Not wearing masks will spread into the virus into the community. Why not wear a mask? You've sort of answered that, but I guess you're not as concerned about your community, you'd say, Jed, because you don't have as much of instances. There's so many cases of COVID in your area.
I'm just saying a one-size-fits-all mentality for schools all across the state isn't necessarily the best approach. Mm-hmm. Our square footage compared to our student population versus a public high school that has thousands of students coming through, it's not apples and apples. So allow us to leverage our strengths and the safety protocols that we are implementing. We're not ignoring the health crisis that we're in. It's just hard to say what is good for one is the exact same fit for the other, because that's not the case.
What about in-school learning? That is front and center in this whole debate right now. You saw CPS come out, the Chicago Public Schools, I think Friday, right, when they first unveiled the plans for in-school learning. You can opt out if you want. There is a plan for you if you decide you do not want to attend school. But that the mayor and the CEO of public schools, and even the city's top health official, Dr. Allison Arwady, seem to be making a case that we think we can do in-class learning, and we think that that's a helpful thing to a lot of kids, particularly kids who maybe special needs or even low income and don't have the resources at home to supplement their education in this way. It's not an easy thing to implement these sort of hybrid models, but in general, your view about the in-class experience, I imagine that you guys are going all in-class, or are you going to do another piece of your learning curriculum as an at-home thing?
We're all in class, Monday through Friday, your typical school hours. And that is from pre-K all the way through 12th grade. I've got 4 kids at home spanning that entire gamut, from a 3-year-old to a 17-year-old, and totally believe the importance of them being in the classroom for an education.
How are they dealing with everything, Jed? Just personally, what are you hearing from your own kids?
They're excited. They're very thankful that Parkview's their home, and that we're taking the position that we're taking, and they can't wait to get back to the classroom.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, because I hear from parents and on this show, and just personally myself, just amongst friends, It seems like some kids really took to the e-learning model and were very good independent learners, and with supplementation from their teachers, and it worked well for them. And then there are others who feel like they missed so much and they became withdrawn, or it really hasn't been working for them. And it's such a tough scenario, because you've got to balance that with the fears and the concerns about the spread, with underlying illnesses at home, both for kids who might have somebody at home who they want to protect, or teachers too, you know, that are concerned about that part of it. So there's so many things to balance as educators when you make up your mind on this. And I imagine you're listening to everybody on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't envy the position that any, you know, being on a board myself or any other board, whether it's private or public, and the teachers, everyone's in a real tough position making decisions that ultimately have significant ramifications, which is kind of where we find ourselves. But we're happy to be the voice of schools across the state.
And finally, we have a question here from a listener, 630. Are you willing to sign a waiver of treatment of COVID, meaning, I guess, that people get it, or if there's some cluster at your school, that you'd be responsible for it?
Yeah, that's like, how do you answer that question? It's kind of, yeah, I'll sign a waiver saying that I don't have the right to health care, but yet your child has a right to an education. It's kind of a loaded question. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, in my opinion, a ridiculous.
Well, I think ultimately you were going to see clusters in schools, and even CPS is saying that. It's going to happen. There will be a situation where kids will get it, just like we're getting it when we go to wherever, fill in the blanks, that people are mixing with other people, and it's a tough thing. And if people don't feel comfortable with your mask policy, I suppose they don't have to go there, and teachers, I guess, don't have to teach there. With a private school, you have that opportunity to do that. But it sounds like you have a lot of people on board, and you're going to have school open, fully staffed, and you have enough teachers that are willing and okay with this policy as well.
Yeah, they're really excited. They share the same sentiment that my own children share, and that they're ready to be back and get back at the academic year.
All right, cool. Thank you so much, Jed. Thanks for your time, and let us know what happens with the lawsuit. Keep us posted on those things too.
You bet. Thank you, Anna.
All right, that's Jed Davis. He's the president of Parkview Christian Academy's school board. We are hearing from you on the text line. People were not happy with that policy, would not be happy with that policy for their own kids. And, you know, just that you feel like it would help out a little bit. Why not wear the masks? And he's saying that, you know, as a private school, that this is the path they've chosen, that you don't have to wear it. He says he's not anti-mask, but that's the route they've chosen to take. Stan, let's hear from you on this. You got thoughts on what you just heard? Go ahead, you're on.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Hey, Anna,
Stan.
How you doing? I wish you'd ask, what he said with this is a private Christian school. And I wanted to know, was this kind of dealing with his Christian beliefs, the reason why they don't want to wear masks?
Yeah, you heard what he had to say. He said that he's going to make them, they're not mandatory. He's not anti-mask, and he just feels that they don't have the cases in their community to support
that
it.
Anna, that didn't answer the question, Anna, because you pretty much put to him that this gets other people called in. I mean, well, said that this could spread just through his, you know, it could spread. It doesn't just mean because they don't wear masks. It means like it isn't mandatory, but that means, you know what that means. Oh, you don't have to wear it. It's no big deal.
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to say you're sort of dismissing this as a real a virus, or that it's really, you know, really capable of spreading. That's not what I heard from him. Maybe he thinks that, but didn't say it. But that's not what I heard from him. I know a lot of parents personally who would not be comfortable with this. I mean, it sounds like, Stan, would you be comfortable with this? As if your kid was going to a school?
No, I wouldn't because this sounds like some of the states down that where the virus is really picking up big down there, where the mask is optional. You don't really have to wear a mask. And all of a sudden, this virus spreads and gets big, and all of a sudden, now masks are mandatory again. You know, so that's what I'm looking at right there.
You hope it doesn't happen there. You're absolutely right. Thank you, Stan. Thanks for your call.
Yep.
Thanks for calling in the program. And if a student, here's one, 847, reading a couple of your texts here. If a student, parent, grandparent, or teacher dies because of the policy, how will the school respond? As many have said, wearing a face cover is the least we can do. It's not apples to apples, 6-year-old says, but I'll tell you, the managing anything is much easier to do when there is consistency and not exceptions. Once you make one single exception for one, you're making them for many, and that's hard to manage. Again, another question about waivers. Do the parents have to sign waivers, or is he personally responsible for that. And 847 says, Anna, any Catholic or Christian schools, parents or parents of students can be kicked out. The kids would be kicked out if they were to speak out against a policy. So that's, it puts them in a tough position. That's also. And then 317, my contract stipulates I can't even sue my district. So what would I do? Anyway, that's, you know, it's a complicated issue. It just feels as if in his district, in his school, he feels like that's going to work. It certainly doesn't seem like that is the, overall way of thinking in education right now. In fact, you've seen so many large cities like Miami and Houston say, we're not even going to open in the fall. We're going to start remotely. Here in Chicago, that's not the case because largely because of our health metrics. And that's what educators are looking as they, you know, monitor the weeks leading up to the opening of schools in those districts that have said, hey, we are going to open. So there are many decisions to be made. I don't know about you, but if you read through your, if you got a kid or a grandkid or somebody in the family is going back to school, if you read through these proposals, they're like, it's like the encyclopedia. They're multi pages of rules and restrictions. And I'm so glad that educators have thought through all this because somebody has to, but it is, they're not an easy read, not easy to sort of figure out what's, everything going on. So what I do is I ask my 8-year-old to read through it and let her report back to me, and that seems to work the best. Carter, let's go to you. You have any thoughts for our last caller before we broke for the news there? He was talking about he is opening a school with a no-mask policy. It's not required. You can wear them if you want. And any were you calling in about that or just schools in general?
Well, no, I was. Thank you for taking my call. I'm in favor of what he is doing. They seem to have a good handle on their school, about the physical properties of the school in relation to number of students. Look, we've got to get kids back to school. We have lost a lot of kids. We've got to get kids back in school for learning, for all the social norms that they learn. And, you know, I'm so surprised by this that we know that children are mainly, if they do get COVID, they're asymptomatic. What we're afraid of is that they pass it on to people who are vulnerable. Well, let's work on that. Work on people who are vulnerable. If there are teachers who are vulnerable to COVID, let them do the online instruction. I really am at a loss for this. I don't understand this fear and trepidation for kids going back to school. If you have young, healthy instructors, or just healthy instructors, period, do the testing, they do the precautions, but we've got to get these kids back in school physically.
You know, it's interesting, Carter, because I hear you, and I feel like this is what I said before. I feel like you can look at all the science and data and come up with completely different answers here, right? And the American Academy of Pediatrics agrees with you. They say it is too harmful to not bring your kids into school and say that, you know, look, we have been staunch defenders of children's health and children for years. We are apolitical, nonpartisan, and we believe that in-school learning is important. And then you just hear from parents who are scared to death and students, and they don't want to contribute to the spread. And, you know, I that's a legitimate viewpoint, too. You hear from the CEO of the Chicago Public Schools today, to your point, about teachers that have underlying conditions who don't feel comfortable, that they're going to, you know, ask for some sort of, like, medical condition forms, I guess they fill out, or some sort of background on that. And if they don't, you know, if they fall into that category, that they won't be required to come in. So it speaks to that whole thing of protecting vulnerable populations. Thanks.
Right. Well, and just, again, look at the numbers. Look at the ages of the people that are going to the hospital. Those who are dying, the majority of them are in nursing homes over the age of 80. Why we're not taking a hard look at who gets sick, the fatality numbers. I'm constantly surprised by this.
Carter, do you have kids?
I do. I have three kids. They're all out of high school, college now. They're young. They're healthy. Do I worry about them? Yes, but I know they work at their own fitness, their own health. I do. My wife does. I have a 91-year-old father, an 89-year-old mother. I have visited them. I've tested negative for COVID. They have people visit them all the time. They're in relatively good health. And they go on and move about their lives. But I'll tell you what I'm surprised about. I'm surprised by young, healthy teachers who are scared to go back into schools and teach. Yet these are the same ones that want to go out and they want to go to a bar, they want to go to a restaurant and all that. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting too old and turning into my father, but I can't believe what a bunch of candy-you-know-whats we're turning into.
You know, that does sound hypocritical, that type of behavior. I would agree with you, Carter. You can't have it both ways and say, you know, it's okay to be out there partying and stuff and then not be in the classroom. That would not be cool. Thank you for your call, Carter. Appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome.
Let's go to Carolyn. Carolyn. Oop, there we go. Oh, we just lost Carter.
Yeah. No, here I am.
Oh, you are. You're here. Hey, Carolyn. What's on your
hey.
Mind?
Okay. I am a school teacher.
All
and
right.
I just want to know, first of all, I had resented for years that parents think we're in charge of their babysitting service. I have a master's degree, and at no point did they say, I'm your babysitter. They dump the kids off at 8:30, and they know they're free till 3:30 or 3 o'clock. And I just resent it. I resent it highly, and I think that that's what the big push is. Nobody's concerned about my COVID, and nobody's concerned about their kids. What they're really concerned about is they don't have anything, they don't have anywhere to dump those kids from 8:30 in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, I think parents feel pressure too, Carolyn, to go back to work, right? I mean, there's that pressure too.
But I'm not in charge of that.
Mm-hmm.
Are we responsible because she took a job or he took a job? They had the kids. That's their responsibility. Should have thought of that when they decided to have the kids.
Carolyn, let me ask you. Can I ask something else, though, too? Because
Sure.
Look, my mom, my sister, they've all taught in Chicago public schools, my aunts, my uncles. The educator's job, I wouldn't want it. It is a tough job, and when it's done well, it can make the world of difference in a kid's life. I get that. But I just wonder, what about those kids who are out there now, who are low income, who don't have access to resources, and don't have that kind of, the support maybe at home to really progress academically, take the babysitting out of it, take the parents need to get their kids off their hands, because I'm sure that's an issue too, that you're like, hey, wait, I don't want my kids. I've got to get rid of these guys.
Right.
But what about the sheer academics of it? Are you concerned about that COVID slide that they talk about?
I am concerned to the extent that I'm going to repeat what I said before. It's still the parents' responsibility.
The learning part of it?
We can get that done. We can get that done via Internet. That's what we teach them in school, how to use the Internet. The Chicago Public Schools, I opened a cabinet one day, and about 12 computers, little laptops or whatever you call the little small ones, hit me in the face. They are taught to learn to use. For learning, it's not undoable. Very, very easy to do. The kids learn. College students do it that way.
I just say, Carolyn, it doesn't work for everybody, though. You know that, right? It doesn't work for everybody.
No. Nothing works for everybody. Nothing. Listen, I teach on the West Side, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I cannot tell you that on a daily basis, when you open that classroom door and you stand outside your classroom, if I have a roster of 30 kids, I can tell you, I can count the days I've had 20.
Yeah.
They don't come. They're already at home. So guess what? Wake up, people. I mean, you're talking about burning up money. First of all, you're burning up money because you're trying to pay people to come back to a job that they're afraid to come back to. Secondly, you've made teachers in charge of too much stuff. We're feeding. We're giving breakfast. We're giving lunch. We got an after-school program. By the time you get finished giving the program and the this gram and the that gram, these kids, they're not even participating. I've seen more kids throw away chocolate milk than the cows have produced, okay? It's ridiculous.
Thank you.
It is ridiculous.
Thank you, Carolyn. Will you be going back to school in the fall?
I used to tell my friends, I say, if you take a walk through my school, you think you're mad now? Just take a walk through the school.
Mm-hmm.
It is ridiculous. And it sounds very nice for everybody to sit on the side and say, oh, we got to help these people. We got to do this. We got to do that. Yeah. It's much harder when you're trying to do it.
Yeah.
And I've tried to do it for 30 years.
And are you going back to school?
Yeah. You know why? Can I tell you why?
Yeah.
First of all, I think you do what you can for COVID, but COVID's here to stay. We don't have a cure for AIDS, so how are we going to have a cure for COVID?
Yeah,
AIDS been around here for 30 years. There's no vaccine for that yet. They can treat you, but they cannot vaccinate you for AIDS.
So you have the mindset, Carolyn, we got to learn to live with this, and you're going to...
We're going to have to learn to live with it. I got my little sandy wipes. I wipe my hands. I wash my face. You know, I put the mask on. You know, I'm doing what I can. But I got to live my life. I got to go to jail. I got to buy groceries. I got to feed my family. Okay?
I get it,
Carolyn.
I'm
going to do what I can do.
Thank you, Carolyn.
But after that...
I want to get you another call, but I appreciate hearing from you. Call back again. We got Doug. Doug, go ahead. Your thoughts on this.
Yeah, the thing I'm thinking about, the gentleman that called in that is talking about having his school or the have the parents decide whether to have masks, I think a lot of people forget about the deal with masks isn't as much to protect you. It's to protect everybody else. So... is he also against, is he like an anti-vaxxer too? If you don't want to vaccinate your kid, that's okay?
Yeah, he didn't say he was anti-vax or anti-mask, but he, you know, I mean, the issue would arise, of course, when you have somebody with an underlying condition or a teacher in that, you know, or somebody in that category who you would want to try to protect, which is why most of us do wear the mask, because we're trying to help others and make sure that, you know, we don't contribute to this while we, you know, learn more about it and we try to get it under control, right?
Exactly. The whole idea with the mask thing, and like, I don't know who the CDC or whatever said, if everybody wore masks, we'd cut this out in 6 weeks or whatever. Mm-hmm. So anyways, that's my thought is, you know, all these people that are against, well, I don't have to wear a mask. Well, it's, so you shouldn't have to get a vaccination for, you know, malaria or whatever disease. Well, yeah. I don't get it.
Thank you. Thanks, Doug. Thanks for calling in.
Okay.